It's May the 23rd, 2012. This is 508, a show about Worcester. Today on the show, I'm Mike Benedetti with Brendan Mellican. Hi,
hey,
Brendan.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to lean the camera a little bit to hear you better on the show. This is a program where we talk about public affairs in Worcester. We're going to skip a couple of obvious topics of the week because we would like to bring a little more firepower to them when we talk about them on the show. But today we will be talking about government transparency. We will be talking about beer pong, unionization, the smock, racking devices, and Jose Canseco. We got a Facebook comment saying, I think Jose deserved his own episode. Don't water it down with trivial topics like the tax rate, crime, and transparency. If we were talking about what Jose Canseco deserved, the city would change its name for this summer to Canseco City. Nobody's getting what they deserve in this situation. Brendan, how are you doing?
Good, man. Doing very well.
Were you at the season opener?
I was. I was there Monday night in the rain.
This is the Worcester Tornadoes minor league baseball team.
It is. I'm trying to think of the way it was phrased in a news story today. It's pretty much the bottom of the barrel is the way people seem to be referring to the Tornadoes or just that league in
general.
Well,
it's a very minor league team.
Yeah, it is. And they put on a good show. But Jose, man, that was tough. It was both a beautiful thing seeing a guy doing what he loves at 47 years of age. It was absolutely miserable watching him strike out time and time again after promising us all multiple balls landing on 290. That didn't happen. One base hit.
So this was kind of underwhelming.
It was very underwhelming. It seemed as though the three games they played down in Newark prior, three or four games the week before, this actual season opener, were also completely underwhelming.
So these days the Canseco action is on Twitter, basically.
I think that is the only place there's Canseco action.
Right.
I mean, I guess there's still potential for him doing something absurd in public. But it was great to see. So have you ever been to a Tornadoes game?
Sure, I've been to a bunch of them.
Okay, so they're not always the most exciting thing. If you're not 7 or 8 years old and like getting into Twister, it's kind of hard to get amped up, unless you're completely drunk, to get amped up for a Tornadoes game.
Yes.
It was awesome being able to look up in the crowds, which were kind of sparsely populated. Maybe it was the rain, but it didn't seem as though many tickets were sold in advance. Seeing like all sorts of excited Worcester people holding signs. Most of them were just like hand-scrawled out signs with some of his more absurd tweets.
I am the Phantom of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like people both taunting, but in like a loving sort of way. Like, you know, I mean,
sure.
Jose Canseco is a throwback to like when people in athletics were like actual human beings, right? They were entertainment. And they, you know, I was talking to somebody today about this. You had people like Tyson, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, Yaz, right? I mean, like, athletes used to actually have personalities, and they were flawed individuals like all of us.
Yes.
Now they're like robots, and they're boring, and, you know, it's seeing Jose out there, it was kind of great. Did he play great baseball? Absolutely not.
But
if I was the guy who struck him out, I would have dropped my glove, washed my hands of it all, and walked off the field, right? And that's the high point of my career, high watermark. But, you know, we've got a couple more games to go. We'll see how it plays out.
All right. Well, we should also point out that Canseco has apparently been hitting on a lot of restaurant staff in the city. I've seen some online reportage of this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, echoing one of Worcester's many, many slogans, no place for player hate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate on Jose Canseco. You know, don't hate him because he's Jose Canseco. Celebrate him for this.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Don't hate either the player or the game.
The game is pretty cool too. The game is not flawed. It's the people who are in it. Then it brings us back to
hating
the player.
Games don't kill people. Bullets do.
It's a good point. Yeah, man. I don't know. Well, that's the other thing I meant to ask you too. So all the reporting about him hitting on waitresses and failing miserably.
Yes.
Does that mean that like Worcester has now become a hub for like national and international journalism because people are just trying to? Are there like freelancers from like major like gossip blogs now like hovering around Worcester watching our every move?
Are you asking me how do we? How do we have all these leaked Canseco?
Either who's ratting him out from the front lines of local bars, or do we have?
I think the big question is, how does that even happen? Like, let's say you work at Pizzeria Uno, and all the staff is like, what is the deal with Jose Canseco, always hanging around here, hitting on us all the time, striking out all the time?
Someone could write an email.
Like, but I guess the question is, like, how does that connect to, like, internet journalism? I don't know. I bet you people put it on Facebook. I bet you people scan it in, put it on Facebook, and then the connection happens that way. But who knows?
I'm just wondering if Worcester is going to become a hub for gossipy activity.
Only if people become much more interested in Jose Canseco.
Or much more interesting in general.
All right. Also on the show today, we're not going to talk about one special Worcester-related door opening device this week, though we will be talking about it soon. This could be the best thing of all time. This is the number one 508 dream of mine. Could be coming true. But do you want to show off?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I got another kind of door opening device.
What is this?
This is called the Trucker's Friend.
Okay.
And this is an absolute, well, I guess extremely useful and absolutely useless at the same time tool that's mm-hmm. available multiple retail establishments online. Amazon is where I think this one was purchased for me. And you have here a nice solid fiberglass handle.
Okay.
Right? You have, obviously, an axe.
Sure.
You have a crowbar.
Okay.
You've got what appears to be like a claw hammer.
Sure.
Some sort of other pooky sort of thing here, like a wire pulling thing there.
Okay.
And an axe, right? All in one handy tool.
It's amazing.
It is pretty amazing. I think, I mentioned this earlier, I think it's probably the closest you're going to find to a retail version of the Lobo from World War Z. And this is it's about 40, 45 bucks.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Well, let me say, now that we talked about Jose Canseco and wrecking tools, we're going to take our macho-ness up to the next level and talk about government transparency.
Nice.
So a week and a half ago at the city council meeting, the city council addressed the rest of the Sunshine Week petitions. This year for Sunshine Week, which is the big week, national week for celebrating government transparency and working for government transparency, especially vis-a-vis journalism, we had a group of people in Worcester who put out four petitions to the city council. One of them was basically saying you should support state legislation that would increase government transparency, and they just voted that at the city council meeting. Fine. The other three went to a committee. Also going to the committee was this Ron Madnick petition. Ron Madnick, this is from back when he was the ACLU chief in Worcester. He's not anymore, but the petition, his previous stuff was still on like this committee's agenda from 2 years ago. He brought this up again, basically saying, okay, years ago you made it so that the public could no longer speak at city council meetings. Like it was sort of by special dispensation of the mayor, if I understand correctly, that you're allowed to speak at a city council meeting. He was like, you should just have a little time limit so everybody can speak when their petition comes up. And random people from the city can just speak about whatever for a limited period of time at the beginning of the meeting. You should just let that happen. So this petition, as well as a petition of mine saying we should have better video archives of public meetings online, a petition saying that we should have a point person, an actual point person rather than a de facto point person in the city government who handles information requests, and a petition saying that the city should really try to figure out what are their obligations vis-a-vis records laws when they're using Facebook and things like that, which are public communications, but they maybe don't think of them the same thing as emails or phone calls, records or memos or whatever. And then this rules committee, which is chaired by the great new city councilor, George Russell, these all were passed by the rules committee. And it was actually interesting, Brendan, to compare the clerk's notes / summary of this meeting with what it was actually said, because I think it was actually not the same thing. Ron's, I have to try to get this video online somehow. Ron's petition that you can speak to your own petitions at a city council meeting, I think they said this is good. And the thing about the public in general should have a period to speak, they were like, we're going to recommend this as like a trial basis.
Yeah.
But in fact, it was just all kind of as the same thing together when it finally made the notes. Mm-hmm. Also, and Ron Madnick and I both remember this very vividly because it was so weird. I think that the Rules Committee also said that they wanted to ask the city manager to have city employees talk to me about video archiving, which I don't want to talk to people about video archiving. Like, I don't think that that's an important part of the process, but it was just an interesting thing that kind of stuck in people's heads and it didn't make it to the actual resolution.
Yeah, why would that responsibility be put on you?
I don't know.
You would think that we would have people who...
They're just sort of freestyling, like, okay, Benedetti has this thing about video archives. Yeah, we should have this. Oh, how about this? This too. Okay, great. Do we all agree? Yes. Okay, great. And then the clerk just writes down, improve the video archives. Thank you.
All right. Moving on.
And moving on. Anyway, so the city after, there was a long meeting last week.
Yeah.
I'm sure I wasn't at this last... most recent one. This one was a long meeting, and then at the very end, the city council was like, sure, we'll just vote for them all. They didn't even have a roll call for some of them.
I totally understand that the concern, speaking to Ron's petition, I understand that there's always the concern that somebody like from the public is going to come in and like filibuster a meeting,
yes,
and will be there to 5 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, still waiting for someone to wrap it up. It could happen, but it strikes me just as odd that like that outlier would be the rationale to try and box into the corner. Like, what is kind of a standard in open and transparent, the idea of being able to petition your government.
Yes.
Like,
it was
not. I hope everybody would hear the phrase like petitioning one's government and recognize that it's kind of an important part of our society.
To be able to speak as well as write it on a piece of paper.
Yeah,
it was. It was very interesting having the clerk there, the great David Rushford there, because he was able to sort of he had talked to different town clerks and I guess city clerks in the area, and said like, what do you do?
Sure.
And they were like, we have an open comment period and nobody abuses it. It's not a problem. So, and it was actually interesting. Rushford also had an interesting comment at that meeting where he said that he felt that a legislative body like the city council operates well when most of the business happens in committee.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually, he was kind of like, it's good to have people be able to talk to their petitions at the city council, but it's probably not, since everything is sent to committee, mm-hmm. people probably don't need to speak to the city council before it gets sent to the committee.
Sure.
And they potentially don't even need to speak to the city council afterwards. Like, they might want to, but it's not necessarily going to be a helpful part of the process. Like, really, people need to be focused on speaking to their petition at the committee meeting, because really you can have a conversation.
It has to be germane to the overall conversation, right? It can't just be people wanting to come in and give a critique on Rick Rushton's tie.
Oh, I'm sure. Maybe. Well, I'm ready to step up and make that happen.
Sure. No, but you could probably find a better forum to do so, and a more constructive one at that. Right? And that's all I'm saying, is that, you know, it's now I'm starting to limit.
You're talking about city council meeting, and you're saying that it would not, you're saying that the most, that the,
okay,
you're saying that it would be distracting from some sort of important focused
business matter.
But no, it would just distract them from grandstanding about nonsense.
This is true.
Anyways.
Moving on.
Anyways. So basically all of the Sunshine Week stuff passed.
Well, congratulations.
With no hitches. Yeah, it was fun. It was like really fun being at it. I had never put forth a petition and then followed it into the committee and then followed it back out of the committee. Yeah, the committee is a much less formal thing than the city council meeting. Like, I was like, I'm going to stand at this podium. They're like, no, just sit at the table and let's just rap. Let's just have some straight talk, some tough talk about video archives. And it was good. And
I still am looking forward, though, to see how we flesh out, like, archiving or record keeping when it comes to social media stuff.
Yes.
That's the thing that I think is going to be interesting.
This is definitely the next step.
Well, you know, because regardless of what the city does and puts together for a policy, the state laws on record keeping already exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one could make an argument that, you know, the now deleted chief of police Twitter account, right, was a public matter of public record, right?
Yes.
Depending on what devices were used to create it. I know the chief would make the argument that it was, you know,
his
own personal account
thing.
But depending on the devices that were used to create it, there could be an argument made for it being subject to public record or records request. And then you get into the issue of who the archivist is, who's the keeper of those records, and do they even exist anymore because the account has been deleted.
So it's
not that anyone needs those records, but
An
example of, you know, we're kind of sloppy with some of that stuff now.
I mean, that's the thing, is I think that this is sort of like saying, let's get this right so that if it does become important,
mm-hmm.
and it will become important in certain cases, that we're actually doing the right archiving. And the next step of this process is definitely to continue bird dogging these things and see how is this actually implemented. Are people able to speak in meetings? I wasn't at this last city council meeting, so I don't know. Like, now that people theoretically can speak, did people just stand up and speak? I don't know.
Welcome to the 20th century, Worcester.
Welcome to the 20th century. Addressing your public officials at a meeting. It's pretty amazing. Worcester's beer pong team, getting back into macho nonsense after talking about government transparency. Worcester's beer pong team did compete at the East Coast Championships, and I'm told via Facebook, we're number 9 of 28 teams at the East Coast Beer Pong Championships.
That's really impressive.
Good job, Worcester. Good job, Worcester.
Pretty. And are they getting the key to the city?
I don't know if they're getting a key to the city. They should get some kind of a stein to the city, I guess.
A stein to the city. I would expect a meeting with the mayor. I'm sure the mayor's office is on top of this.
I don't know.
I mean, that's
would they play a ceremonial round of beer pong with the mayor?
That'd actually be awesome.
That would be pretty great. That would be pretty cool. Getting back away from macho nonsense for a second. There's a unit, maintenance workers, groundskeeping workers, and housekeeping workers at Becker College in Worcester are trying to unionize with the SEIU representing them. There are 45 of these people, and a majority of them have submitted a petition to the National Labor Relations Board asking for this SEIU representation. The administration, of course, of Becker is opposing this. I'm not a Becker person. I have no inside things with Becker. All I can comment on really is the president's of Becker's letter that he sent to these workers, which, based on the letter, I don't think Becker is opposing this very strongly. But the letter may not be representative of their campaign as a whole. My favorite two sentences of the letter was, "The recently enacted core values statement unites us as a common body and guides our work and how we conduct ourselves. If this unionization effort is successful, we will become adversaries, no longer working toward a common vision, mission, and purpose." So basically the president is saying, you don't need a union because we have a mission statement. We have a mission statement, people. Come on, what more do you want?
Think big, guys.
I just love that. Also, he never explains in the letter or comments on why they will become adversaries. Like, does he expect the union will lead these workers away?
Well, because the union has its own mission statement. You can't have two diametrically opposed mission statements.
He doesn't say this, though. I think potentially he could be... Is he implying that the college is going to switch their mission and become the enemy of these workers? That's why they'll become adversaries? I don't know.
But, I mean, unless Becker adopted their mission statement from SEIU, it's possible that their mission statements might overlap. They might interfere with one another.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't think Becker took this letter very seriously. The comma use was poor, and they did not punctuate their dashes correctly.
There seems to be a lot of examples lately, and I say this as a terrible speller and one who has zero control of proper use of grammar.
Right.
A lot of terrible spelling and grammar usage coming out of the higher education circles as of late.
I don't know. Anyway, like
if I'm picking up on your terrible grammar and spelling, there's a problem.
There you go. Anyway, I don't want to put too much weight on this letter. Like I said, it's kind of an incredibly written letter, but I thought that was an interesting part of it. And yeah, we'll see what's going forward. That's our only information that this program has about this unionization attempt. Also, speaking of petitions, this is kind of amazing. So you know the PIP shelter. We're going to backtrack for people who haven't been following this closely. The PIP shelter was a wet shelter in the city of Worcester for many years. Usually, often housed more than 100 people. Wet shelter meaning you were high, you were drunk, no problem. No shoes, no shirt, no problem, as they say. And it was a rough place to stay. In my time working with the homeless in Worcester, I talked to hundreds of people who stayed at the PIP. None of them ever had many good things to say about the experience. Then the PIP was like shut down, and there was like a triage center opened up, which quickly grew to be kind of like the PIP. And then the triage center was switched from being controlled by Community Health Link to being controlled by another social service organization, SMOC. And it was moved back into the original PIP building, which are much less people. Now down, I think it's now down to more like 50, 60 a night rather than more than 100 a night sometimes. Anyways, it's just kind of ironic that it's like back in the same building doing similar kinds of things, but with a different emphasis. Anyway, 122 people who have been served by this SMOC triage center signed a petition complaining about the facility, including disrespect from the staff, inadequate programs that they were being offered, and the bad, bad food. And let me tell you something. Again, like, I'm only an amateur, though a devoted amateur social service worker. Sure. So I've heard a lot of complaints from people who I was trying to help. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of complaints from people who are being helped in general. And sometimes these complaints are, in my opinion, legitimate, and sometimes they're not legitimate. Sure. I mean, somebody who has problems with addictions, mental illness, etc., sometimes can be a problem themselves, but mm-hmm. sometimes they are just being screwed or they are being done a disservice, and I've seen that sure. a lot of times. So I cannot at all talk about these 122 people and whether and what percentage of these. I assume this is some mixture of legitimate and illegitimate complaints. I've heard a lot of complaining, some thanks, but a lot of harping from people who've been in the social service system. I've never seen 122 people sign a petition against the thing. So this is kind of remarkable.
First, to take a step back, I think what you were trying to do at the beginning was paraphrase Red Foo from LMFAO and say, no shirt, no shoes, and I still get service. It's from the song Sexy and I Know It.
I think it's actually no shirt, no, 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 I think...
Yeah, no, but it's a line of a song at LMFAO. That's, okay. You were close.
Somebody's going to quote that there's like some 80s party movie. I want to see like a one crazy summer kind of movie where one of these dudes is like, no shirt, no shoes, no problem. Anyways, but yes, I like that.
Who started this petition?
One of the people at SMOC.
So it was totally internal?
Yeah, it was totally
internal. See, that's telling.
They had her name in the article. I don't remember what
It wasn't an outside force trying to, like, bring the hammer
this
down
was
on
not,
SMOC.
This is, like, actual social service clients organizing themselves.
Now, and I assume that the Telegram has gone through other SMOC entities to see if there are similar complaints elsewhere. Because this would actually be a big deal, right? If we found out that... SMOC was selling, the pink slime from, in their cafeterias or whatnot. I mean, making me nervous looking over my shoulder.
I feel like any facility that's gonna serve 60, 70 people is gonna have these kind of complaints.
Yeah.
And I feel like the PIP always had these kind of complaints. It was just that...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be complaint. If there's people running around in no shirt, no shoes, and high as a kite, yeah, you're going to have complaints. But at the same time, these sound like kind of reasonable complaints, right? I mean, that, like, food is terrible, the offerings of the facility are terrible.
They have raised the standards as far as, like, coming... As far as, like, people, like, once, like, not just, like, oh, you can sort of come in whenever, but, like, you need to sort of be there...
We never had a petition at the PIP shelter, did we?
No, but there's definitely, like, more restrictions on staying there, which some people... At least one person in the article seemed to be chafing at, like, these additional restrictions that there were now.
Or needing shoes.
I don't know. No, just shirts. Something about that you weren't allowed to skip too many nights in a row.
Okay.
Or you would no longer be allowed to live there. And things like this.
So this could be amount to, like, a high school, like, rebellion sort of...
I don't know.
Like, you want to take it seriously.
I don't know. I mean, the problem is this is the kind of thing which, like, I don't even know how you would objectively... You would have to have, like, the FBI or somebody come in and, like, really investigate everything to figure out the complaints of 122 people.
Or maybe we could go down there and do a show.
But we wouldn't get to the bottom of it. It would just be fun.
It would be fun. Haven't been in there in a while.
Me neither.
What else you got?
I don't know. That's about it.
That's it.
What else is going on in Worcester?
The tornadoes.
I've heard the
tornadoes. Can we just turn around and say, I never noticed what a big parking lot that was back there.
It's a big parking lot back there.
Little diamond Chevrolet.
People can't see it.
Yeah.
This camera's not that good.
Tornadoes.
So the tornado, this could be the last summer of the tornadoes.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I got to assume on some level, like, the league doesn't seem like it's doing so hot, right? I mean, they're down to 5 teams now.
Yeah.
I think they're at 30-something at their height. So
right.
you're really just a hair away from being the Globetrotters playing the Washington Generals here.
Sure.
And, you know, although I'm sure...
Which is a successful business model.
Which is a successful business model, and the entertainment value is quite high. I have to imagine they threw a little bit more scratch than they typically do at Kenseco to bring him in.
Sure.
Probably not too much more, but a little bit more. Maybe a last-ditch effort to try and pull things together before they go under. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. I hope it works out. I hope Jose actually... It would be amazing to actually see him putting balls up on 290. I know he's good at in him.
He was quoted today as dissing Mitt Romney.
He was quoted today
because of Romney's criticisms of Obama's economic... policies that he felt were unwarranted.
He felt that if we were going to be realistic, that we should be looking on a 30-year timeline to improve fiscal outlooks.
This is actually what he said.
He did say that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, again, like...
But the crux of that story was that we should all be aware that Jose is trolling us, and whether we want to acknowledge or not, we're all willing participants in his... big game, and nobody even knows where it goes. It's just kind of awesome to watch.
I feel like this show, we have been enthusiastic participants in his trolling of the city.
I encourage it.
Have you heard it back from him? You've tweeted at him a lot. Have you heard it at all?
Nothing.
Back at all?
I think my tweets have been too serious.
All right.
He seems like he's only willing to engage people who he can make, like, homophobic remarks to, or other sorts of slights or whatnot. He's not the most eloquent guy when it comes to tweeting. Case could also be made that it's not him tweeting. But
we don't know.
Nobody knows.
We don't know who it is. Some of it has to be.
Yeah, because you can actually sit at a Tornadoes game, watch him in the dugout, and you can see his thumbs aren't moving.
And there's tweets appearing?
There might be.
All right.
We'll look behind the curtain, Mike.
Well, hopefully people are not disappointed. We've talked a lot about Jose Canseco today. There's a lot to talk about. There's some crime...
We need to get Jose Canseco on the show. That's one of the things we can do.
Let me tell you, people, if Jose Canseco hits on you... Just ask him to be on the show. People, like, his phone number is now public knowledge, but I don't want to call this phone number because this is a phone number to be used, like, if you're interested romantically.
Yeah. Well, right? Maybe...
I don't want to abuse it.
Let's do it this way. If you are interested in Jose Canseco romantically, get in touch with us, and we'll get in touch with him via you here on the show.
But only if you're serious.
Yeah, so we can tie you together with him on the show.
Because if we troll Jose Canseco, then it becomes lame.
Have we ever done, like, a matchmaking thing on 508?
No, but we talked to people about friendship. We're going to talk about this again. This is actually another thing. We need to be talking about, more seriously on the show, about crime. Because there's been a lot of violent crime recently. We need to talk more seriously on the show about taxes and more seriously on the show about friendship and building social connections. All three of these things, I feel like we need to read multiple reports and have some experts on the show. The one thing, though, I feel like we can still talk about on the show is the friendship thing. We talked about this last time. We'll talk about this again. If you live in the city of Worcester and you watch this show and you wonder, what is the deal that I just cannot, like, connect with people in City Worcester. I cannot find these other people in City Worcester who I know are in a city of 200,000 people who are awesome and who, like, jive with me. You know, like, you're here, you're living with your husband, your wife, your kids, whoever. You moved here for some sort of work reason. All of a sudden, you're just like, what is the story with this city? Why is it such
You're talking
desert?
To Jose Canseco right now.
Jose Canseco, though, is out there. So here's, you have, there's
but
two
suggestions.
There's,
I mean,
two
it's,
suggestions.
It's all over the internet.
So we have two suggestions. We have three suggestions. Okay, three suggestions. The first suggestion is that Brendan and I read more of the sociology of disconnection in the modern America, try to understand the root causes, and we start talking about how we can overcome them in the city of Worcester. The second thing is that you can follow Jose Canseco's lead and hang out at Pizzeria Uno and just pass out your number. Mm-hmm. Just people at Pizzeria Uno. Have you ever been to Pizzeria Uno?
In Worcester?
Yeah.
No.
I think those guys
are
cool, though.
I think I ate one in an airport once.
I bet you they're cool.
Awesome.
I bet they're awesome people. Go in there, give them your number, hang out, mm-hmm. hit on them. That's
at a hotel, so I'm sure they're right. used to people handing them their number, hitting on them, and whatnot.
Sure. So the third way that we've said is that you should just come up to Brendan and I if you see us in person. Nobody has done this in the 2 weeks that our last show has been out, so maybe this is not going to happen. But if you're watching this show and you see Brendan and I, don't email us, because that's not going to work if you email us. Or don't call us, or call Jose and Canseco. That's also not going to work. You're looking for a real connection, right? Come up to us and just say, dude, I hear you talking about friendship on the show, and we'll talk to you and we'll try to say, like, hey, you know who you should be hanging out with, or you know where you could go, or whatever. And we'll just try to understand your plight. Because this is not about people who are like, whatever.
But, you know, the
this is not about you. This is about the city of Worcester and America being a hard place to make this happen.
That was patriotic. The weather's been terrible for the last couple weeks. That may be why nobody's come out and approached us. It's been raining a lot. But if you are going to come out and approach one of us, don't, like, surprise anyone. Don't, like, jump out or anything like that. Like, do a casual sort of. If you're not... If you're having a hard time meeting people, it's very possible
Jose
that you're
Canseco,
kind of awkward when it comes to meeting
feel
new people.
Feel free to just jump out, but otherwise.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Just come up and say hi.
Yeah, just come up and say hi.
Anyway.
Casual.
There you go. All right.
Nothing aggressive.
All right. So I feel like we've talked about friendship, we've talked about government transparency, we've talked about unionization, we've talked about homeless services, we've talked about...
Walking around with this is probably not encouraging anybody to come up and say hi. I gotta leave this at home.
I don't know. There's some people who, like, the reason... They just feel a little awkward, and they're really into edged weapons, and, you know, they're just...
No one to talk to. There's nobody walking around with edged weapons in Worcester.
Anyway, we're glad that you're watching this show. We're glad that you're being our friend via the internet or via WCCA TV 13. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is Brendan Mellican. This
Take
is
care.
508, a show about Worcester. Email us at pieandcoffee@gmail.com if you got any comments, or if your name is Jose Canseco. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.